Blog Talk Radio.
All right, you ready?
Yeah.
Broadcasting from Cincinnati, you're listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. All the news from the world of boxing right here.
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you.
Now, here's your host, Eric Lorda.
And we are live. Welcome to the Ringside Reporter Show, where we talk about the latest boxing news. If it's related to boxing, we'll talk about it here. My name is Eric Lorta, and I'm here with my co-host, Joe Habib, and we got a great show for you today. And if you want to call and ask questions, 323-870-3857. And tonight, we're going to talk about Ryan Garcia. He is out again with an injury. We'll tell you all about it, so his fight coming up is no more. We'll also preview the upcoming Shakur Stevenson versus Jamel Herring fight. But first, we're going to get started with DAZN, Mikey Garcia versus Sandor Martin. Sandor Martin was a 25-1 underdog, all right? He upset Mikey Garcia by the scores of 95-95, overruled 97-93 twice. Sandor Martin, to me, I was watching this fight, was just a sharper fighter. He was quicker. He just outboxed Garcia really for the full 10 rounds, I thought. I thought he did really well. Now, obviously, he didn't win every round, but, I mean, I thought he would just look better. I mean, he really did. I thought Mikey looked slow. I thought the time outside the ring looking like it caught up with him. It's been close to 20 months since he's been out of the ring, and it really showed. And here's another stat for you. We just looked up before the show. Garcia has fought 3 times in 3 years. What's the point of that? I mean, 3 times in 3 years.
Part-time fighter. The part-time fighter.
Yeah. I mean, he's on like the Gary Russell plan, you know? You know, you're not going to stay sharp. You're not going to look good. And you even talked about, was it the Jesse Vargas fight? I think he didn't look good in that fight either.
That was a close fight.
Yeah, and so he comes back here, and, you know, he didn't look great. He should have walked right through Sandor Martin. Listen, Sandor Martin is a good fighter. He's very good. He's a very technical fighter, really good, really fast. He shouldn't have beat Mikey Garcia. No way.
I actually had the fight a draw. I thought it was pretty close. I thought for the first 5 rounds, I didn't think that Martin was throwing a ton of punches. I thought that his back was up against the ropes and he was in the corner. Neither guy landed a lot of shots, but I just thought Mikey was the aggressor in the first 5 rounds. But once again, when we saw a southpaw, we had front foot control. Mikey had a hard time getting the jab off, and we know that Mikey is a guy that really utilizes that jab to set up his offense. I mean, most fighters do, but Mikey, you know, does it so much so because he'll never throw a risky punch like a lead right hand or a lead left hook. He's a very comprehensive guy. And if he can't get that jab off, then his offense is basically, it's non-existent, right? And in this fight, neither guy was really, you know, effective with their jab. But the thing about Martin was, like I said, he created the punching angles for himself. He kept moving. He was feinting. He was throwing sneaky lead left hands down the pike. And, you know, I think from rounds 6 through 10, I thought that was those were his rounds. That's where he really stepped it up. He was stepping in with some power shots. He was going to the body very well there. And Mikey really slowed down in the second half of this fight. His volume was way down. Neither guy threw a ton of punches, but Martin was just great with his movement. And, you know, he was landing a lot of power shots, right? And, you know, he was accurate, and he was landing clean. Garcia was just really having a hard time getting off. And, the activity had to have hurt him because, like I said, he faded badly down the stretch. He really slowed up. And I don't like him at 145 pounds. He looked soft. He looked pudgy. His, like you said, his timing was really off, and I don't think it serves him any purpose to fight 3 times in 3 years. If he's going to continue, he's got to fight more. And a lot of people are just saying, why doesn't he retire? Because it doesn't seem like his heart's in it. He fought in a very uninspired manner with no sense of urgency. I love Robert Garcia as a trainer, but I don't think that he lit that fire under him. You needed to tell him, hey man, you gotta start stepping it up because you could be losing here. I guess they just felt because they were, you know, they were the A side, they were the house fighter, they were on home territory, that they were just gonna get the decision regardless of what they did. But it came back to bite him right in the ass in the end, didn't it?
Hey, Babe, let me ask you a question because you brought up a really good point. Neither fighter was able to get their jab going. Garcia really, a lot of what he does is based on that jab. What did Martin do to take away that jab from him?
The front foot control, because every time Garcia tried to jab, he kept hitting Martin's lead hand. So he needed to create a better angle for himself so he can get past that hand. But he couldn't get past that. He couldn't get past Martin's lead hand. He was like straight moving in straight lines. He wasn't moving in angles. If you notice, Martin kept moving. Martin looked like shades of Usyk, dare I say, in that second half of the fight.
Did you notice it? Because I was fast forwarding during the, you know, like I said, I was just watching the fight. I didn't see any of the corner work. But did you notice, were they giving him any instruction on the jab at an angle, or to come in on an angle to utilize that jab or anything like that?
They were telling him to jab over Martin's hand. So they're telling him to jab, you know, to touch it and go over the top of it. But how could you go over the top of it if the guy wasn't standing? The guy wouldn't stand straight in front of you. He did a bad job, creating punching angles for himself.
He kept tapping his, you know, as they their hands came together. He kept tapping it. You know who else does that? Or he used to do it back in the day. It was Rigondeaux. If you watch old Rigondeaux fights, he's always tapping that lead hand. It's almost like it takes that thing away. So the only thing you have is to shoot with your other hand, and then all of a sudden he just kind of makes you a one-handed fighter. It takes away a good portion of your game like that.
Yeah. But, I mean, if the guy's going to keep tapping you, then you got to step out, either outside or inside. You got to get past it. You can't keep letting him tap your lead hand, right? You got to either knock it down and come over the top, or you got to step around it and shoot your jab from an angle. You can't, you know, shoot your jab straight into his jab, man.
Yeah. Notorious said, Mikey made about $6 million in his last two fights. I think that's probably combined or whatever.
Yeah.
And listen, I mean, you've had a good run. It almost looks like it's, I mean, listen, when you're fighting three times, he was off. Not only that, but he was off for that contract thing. Wasn't it with Top Rank or something like that for like 2 years or something?
Yeah, he's had a lot of issues with inactivity.
Yeah, so
in his career.
Yeah, so he had like, again, man, so 2 years, about 2 years of inactivity. Then he comes back and he's got some good wins over Bronner, over Easter. And now he's back on the Garcia plan where he's fighting, or the Gary Russell plan where he's fighting once a year. It's almost like, I mean, do you think his heart doesn't look in it? Because
no, he doesn't. His heart, his head's not in the game right now.
Yeah, and Corey in the chat just said it. He looked out of shape, and he didn't look great. And if you think about it, Lee, if you've had that much time off, you should at least came in shape.
Yeah.
You know? You know, and there's ways to come in. If he wanted to weigh 147 or whatever he wanted to weigh, I mean, at 145, listen, he's a small guy. I mean, he could have came in ripped up. I mean, he could have came in shape, but he didn't. He did. He looked, looked kind of pudgy, you know? I mean, for 145, I mean, you shouldn't be 145, 5'6", 145 and out of shape.
Yeah.
I mean,
he doesn't have a big frame. I don't think he can carry it, to be honest with you.
Yeah. So overall, what was your opinion of Sandor Martin? Is he a new player in the game? Was a star born last night? I mean,
he's got a pesky style, but he's not a big puncher, and doesn't throw a lot of punches either. So I'm not sure he's going to set the world on fire. I just think Mikey Garcia was off. I don't want to take anything away from him. He fought a good fight, but I don't see anything that really stands out. I mean, Garcia was able for, you know, in spots to pin him up against the ropes and pin him in the corner. And as the fight wore on, he started fighting more in the center of the ring. He didn't allow himself to stay on the ropes long.
Right.
But in the beginning he did. I, I can see a guy, I could see like a relentless pressure fighter breaking him down. You know, the right style, I think, would you know, could hurt him. Like that Ajit, I think it was who was the guy that he lost to?
I know who you're talking about.
Ajit.
Yeah.
I think he's a pressure fighter as well. He's that type of style that would give him problems, right? So that type of style, I think, would always give him problems.
Do you think we're heading for a rematch here, or you think he just moves forward?
No, we'll have a rematch. We'll have a rematch.
Because it wasn't that great of a fight. I got to be honest with you. I mean, it wasn't a great fight.
Very uneventful fight.
Yeah. I think what was it? I think it was Centurion said, "Would you buy a tank Mikey Garcia pay per view?"
No.
Really?
Would I buy it?
Yeah.
No, not at this point, no.
Wow. I would like to see Sandor Martin get a bigger fight, a bigger money fight, but if he's going to fight Garcia again, I mean, a fight nobody wants to see. I think you just chalk it up, and I think if you're Mikey Garcia, you chalk it up and you move forward. You decide what you want to do. You decide whether you want to continue this whole thing or you just want to, you know what I mean? It doesn't make any – to me, this rematch doesn't make any sense. Doesn't make any sense at all.
Yeah.
None.
Yeah.
Regis Prograis would wash Martin. Yeah, probably.
Regis Prograis, Josh Taylor.
Any one of them. I think that was the best part. I think that was the best part going into this fight, that he was overlooking this guy.
Yeah.
That's all he talked about was Josh Taylor.
Josh Taylor.
Regis Prograis. He wants these guys in order, blah, blah, blah. Turns out you couldn't even take Martin out. You know?
Yeah.
And again, you know, the type of shape he came in at. What are you thinking, man? Like, really, is your head in this game? And you could say all you want. Well, he wasn't motivated for a guy, you know, Sandor Martin, who, you know, nobody'd ever heard of. I get it. You know, but look, I mean, if you're not motivated when a guy's trying to take your head off, I don't know what motivates you. You know, and then you got millions of dollars on the table. If you beat this guy with Regis Prograis or, you know, Josh Taylor or somebody like that, you've got tons of, you know.
Well, the guy that beat Martin, Anthony Ajit, he got knocked out by Raleigh in 7 rounds, and Raleigh was 135 and Ajit was like 140. He was over the limit. So that just goes to show you know what I mean? And that's taking nothing away from you know, Martin, but I just think Garcia was really flat. He was off.
Yeah. I mean, and I think, you know, if they do rematch, I mean, it was a close fight. It was close enough to say, hey, I you know, you'd probably give the nod to Garcia the next time. But, again, where does he go from here? You know what I mean? Like,
I mean,
where?
I scored the fight a draw, but, like I said, the third round I thought was a swing round. So it could easily have been, you know, 96-94 for Martin. I mean, I don't think Garcia won. I mean, the best that you could come up with is maybe a draw, but that's about it.
Yeah. Corey says that Mikey can win the rematch. Well, yeah, he can win the rematch, but what's the point of a rematch here? I mean, really, what are you going to prove by beating him? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
nothing.
I mean,
go forward.
Well, I guess you got to clear up the blemish before you can get a bigger fight, because people are, you know, people are going to say, well, if you can't beat this guy, then why should I fight you, you know?
Yeah. And C. Lyon said it, pointless fights. He's right. There's a pointless fight. It's a pointless rematch to me, anyway.
Yeah.
Pointless rematch to me. Let's talk about these zone announcers who were all over Mikey Garcia in the first, what, 6-7 rounds? And then all of a sudden, you know, hey, I think he might have done it. I think Martin might have. They're almost, like, unlistenable. Yeah, I mean, it really is. They're just awful.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
I think Jessica McCaskill did a pretty decent job, but I just don't like Chris Mannix, and I don't like Sergio Moore. Todd Grisham's okay. I mean, he's not that bad.
He's like the play-by-play guy, you know?
Yeah,
he's not
he doesn't do a bad job.
No, I think he's good.
Sergio Moore is just so irritating, and Chris Mannix.
Chris Mannix to me is irritating. You just want to smack him every time he talks.
I just don't know, man. They're just irritating, and I don't know. Like they they try to control the narrative of the fight. And a lot of things they say, it's just not happening.
That's what I mean? That's the thing. I think that's a good
way
to put
irritating.
It.
They're saying things that just Sergio Moro says stupid things. Like, so Chris Mendes goes, yeah, he's kind of twitchy a little bit. Looks kind of nervous, right? And so then Todd Grisham goes, does that mean he's a little bit nervous? And then Sergio goes, no, that just means he's twitchy. I mean, usually when you're twitchy, you're nervous, right? I mean, it's the same thing. I mean,
you got a tick, you know? Yeah, you're nervous.
He was a little nervous in the beginning of the fight because it was, you know, caught up in the moment. Okay to say that.
Tony Yayo said that Ellie Sekbak has seen a ton of fights, said it was a robbery. That has nothing to do with Sekbak stays over at the Garcia's house or anything like that.
Ellie,
you know?
Ellie Sekbak is a disgrace to journalism.
Wow.
He shouldn't even be allowed.
Wow.
You shouldn't even be allowed in fight to even cover fights.
Oh, man.
He sucks.
I didn't even go that far. I just said it was a silly thing to say, man.
He's trash.
Ho!
He's trash.
Oh, my God.
You don't have to say it. I'll say it for you.
Oh, my God. Beep. Jesus. Beep's in a mood tonight, man. I tell you what.
I don't like Ellie Sekbak.
You know what? That's crazy. He's got nothing but nice things to say about you.
Yeah, well, he can keep those nice things and stick them where the sun don't shine. Reporting. Get the fuck out of here.
Ellie Sekbak reporting. Devin Haney and Teofimo got into a real heated argument, both on air and off air at the DAZN at this fight. Dude, what were your thoughts on this? I mean, they were going back and forth and talking about wanting to fight each other right after the next fight. Do you think this fight comes off?
Somebody's got to fight Devin Haney. I mean, he can't just. Devin Haney is pulling up on dudes now, and he's just, like, getting up in dudes' faces. Bill Haney's going on podcasts. You know, he's calling out fighters, too. These guys are doing everything in their power to get the fights done. Eddie Hearn, I believe him. You know, when Eddie Hearn wants to get a fight done, he does get the fight done when he wants to.
Yeah.
So I believe Eddie Hearn. So these guys just got to step up. They got to fight him. Someone's got to fight this guy, whether it's Jojo Diaz, whether it's Teofimo Lopez, whether it's anybody. Ryan Garcia, somebody fucking fight this guy.
It's funny, man, because, you know, listen, I've been saying it. I said it for a long time that I thought Devin Haney was the class of that division. I think you have to go with Teofimo now just because he's unified the belt. He's beat the guy, the Lomachenko. I think you kind of got to go there, right?
He's gone on a hiatus.
Where's he at?
Already talking about moving up to 140.
But you know what?
We can only stay down to 135 for one more fight. We can't make 135 anymore.
That hiatus was self-inflicted, my man.
And then, also, right, he's kind of a head case, no?
He doesn't seem like he's all there. But we were talking about this before the show, though. I said, when we were talking about John Jones, we were talking about Michael Jordan, and you got anybody at that kind of level who does it, that, you know what I mean, who's like that
but
special,
you got to have something missing.
Got to have something missing.
I understand that, but when the bell rings, you got to put that behind you. He's already said in the Nakatani fight, there was something on his mind. That's why his performance was the way it was, right? They were using that as an excuse, like his mind was on his issues with his wife.
Yes,
and stuff
I remember
like
that. Yeah.
Bernard Hopkins used to say there's always something, right? But you got to be able to put it behind you once the bell rings. I'm not so sure this kid can do that.
Centurion Sun said Lopez is a big boy. Hey, when they were together, man, Haney looked like the much bigger guy. He looked a lot bigger than Lopez. I was actually surprised at how big he looked. He was a lot bigger. And I thought that Lopez was a lot bigger than Lomachenko when they fought, which he was. I couldn't imagine Haney in there with Lomachenko. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Regis Prograis is another one. So he was hoping to fight Mikey Garcia. And when that fight went by the wayside and the decision got announced, he tweeted out one word, F. You know, you can imagine what the word was.
He would have
amazing.
He would have bought
God.
Mikey Garcia's ears off.
Can you
that
imagine?
Fight, man. I thought he beat Josh Taylor.
I had Josh Taylor in that fight, razor thin fight, though. 115, yep. 130. It was a razor thin fight.
Yeah.
Razor thin. But
I think you gotta say Josh Taylor is the best at 140 based off of accomplishments.
Mm-hmm.
But I think on any given day, I think Prograis could beat Josh Taylor.
I don't think Taylor wants to fight Prograis again. Put it that way.
No, he won't.
He doesn't want to fight him again. I don't blame him.
There's no way.
You know where has Prograis been though? You know what I mean? Like he's looking for a fight.
He was
too.
On that. Yeah, he was on that Triller card.
That's right. Yeah. You know,
a little while back.
Where are we? You know, like. All these guys, we got all this. I don't understand. Like, we have all this talent here, man. All this talent, this one little division, and nobody's fighting anybody. I don't understand.
Yeah.
You know?
Crazy, man.
I just don't get it. All right, ESPN, Emmanuel Navarrete versus Joette Gonzalez. Navarrete beats Gonzalez by the scores of 118 to 110, 116, 112 twice. The eye of Joette Gonzalez looked awful. All right, it looked awful. Should the fight have been stopped sooner, Beeb?
You know what the problem was? That guy was under the eye, so it wasn't impairing his vision, so that was a good thing. Problem is Joette Gonzalez keeps his hands like right on his face, and he even said this. He goes, because of my stance, you know, he was hitting me, and my glove was going into my eye. It was making it worse because my glove was rubbing on my eye. I don't like guys that have that earmuff. Or that, you know, those their gloves pinned to their face like that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he was catching a lot of shots on the gloves, but Navarrete hit so hard. He, like, forces his punches through the guard sometimes, right? And, you know, Gonzalez was landed a couple of good right hands. His jab was a little bit inconsistent. But Navarrete was the guy who was really the aggressor in this fight. Some of these rounds were hard fight. You know, sometimes we talk about, yeah, a guy could win wide on the scorecards, but the rounds are hard fought that he wins. Like Gonzalez would have a moment or two in every round, but Navarrete, I thought, was just doing the more consistent work. He was the more aggressive. He threw more punches. And he was just ripping the body. He was landing good uppercuts as well. I just think Navarrete is like the Energizer Bunny, and like Tim Bradley says, the only way to stop this guy is you gotta pin him to the canvas. You gotta knock him out because he was walking Joette Gonzalez backward, pushing him backward. But like I said, Gonzalez is a tough kid. He's a tough kid. He would land a good right hand, but Navarrete would just walk through it, you know. And you could see those bots. Like, you could hear Navarrete's body shots. Like, when Navarrete rips to the body, it's like he's taking, like a whip and just, like, slapping it off a wall. You could, like, tap, tap, tap. You can hear it. You know what I mean? Like, he's a very powerful, strong guy, Navarrete, and he's in phenomenal shape. And he's so unorthodox, you know, the way he just dips and comes up with those wild shots up from underneath. He drops his hand down below his waist and he takes his hand, you know, out of sight of his opponent. And then he just comes up out of nowhere and lands those uppercuts from the floor, basically. So it was a very entertaining fight, but I just didn't think it was as close as Bernardo Assuda was saying. Andre Ward scored it 117 to 111, just like I did. The two of the judges had it closer. One judge had it 118 and 110, and Bernardo was, like, ripping that scorecard. I could see it 118-110 because one of the rounds that I did give Gonzalez was kind of a swing round. So 117-111, I think, was a reasonable score. The two judges had it 116 and 112. I just don't give it to a guy who's trying hard, you know? And the thing is this, too. When a guy does better than expected, sometimes he gets the benefit of the doubt in close rounds because of that.
Yeah,
know?
I would agree with that.
And I noticed that, you know, and I think that could have happened in the Garcia fight too, taking nothing away from Martin. But I didn't think that fight was as wide as two of those judges had it. I thought it was a 96-94 fight or even a draw. So that's just how I see it.
Yeah, I think that, you know, what about, you know, listen, man, Joey Gonzalez has been in a couple of big fights. He was in a fight with Shakur Stevenson, I believe, correct?
Yeah.
He was in a fight now. He seems to come up short against, with, you know, in big fights. That being said, I mean, he's fighting two really good fighters, okay?
He's got a really fan-friendly style. I think his fan-friendly style makes him entertaining and makes people and promoters want to put him on.
Let me address something real quick. Two things. Number one, guys, hit the like button. Let's get the likes up. If you guys are in the chat or if you guys are watching right now, all I'm asking you to do is hit the like button. That's it. And Corey Lee, I've seen you on hold about 50 times. I got you, but we got a show to do here. I'll get to you when I get to you. We love you, Corey, but, you know, come on. So, yeah, man, you know, where does Joey Gonzalez go from here? Does he have – you're a really good judge at this, okay? So does he have a title shot, a title run in him? I mean, can he win the title? I mean, does he have that in him?
No, he's got limitations. He's got defensive – because he's got defensive liabilities, and he takes too much punishment. And I don't like the hand positioning like this. Like I said, guys that have their hands like this, they catch shots on the gloves and the gloves get pushed into their face. But he busts up too. I don't think he's going to win a title. Unfortunately, no. I'd like to see him win a title because he's the type of guy that gives everything he's got. He works hard. You could tell he really tries and works hard in the gym. But he just doesn't have that it factor. There's nothing. There's no quality that he possesses that could separate him from, you know, from the top of the pack. Like Navrete, what makes him so dynamic is he's a hard puncher. He's in phenomenal shape, and people think that he's wild, but he's just very unorthodox. He throws crazy feints and throws punches from weird angles. He's a hard guy to deal with because he will not stop, and he fights a fast-paced fight, throws a ton of punches. This guy is a tough out for anybody, not Brett Day. Anybody.
How does he do when he steps up and wait?
Not Brett Day?
Yeah. I was talking to Chakal. Chakal thinks he's too small.
He's 5'7". He could go to 130, but I wouldn't like him at 135.
What about 130? Does he do anything at 130?
He'd be decent at 130. Yeah, he'd be decent at 130.
Does his power – I mean, you know, because he doesn't – I mean, he's not that one-shot guy, man.
But he's one of those clubbing power guys.
Yeah,
where he hits guys to the body and his uppercut, he can get guys out. And you got to understand too, when he moves up to 130, he'll have more muscle and more beef on him. That could possibly add to his power as well. He's a thin guy, so I don't like him at 135. I like him. He could go to 130 though.
You think he could do a damage at 130, win a title?
Yeah, I think he'd be formidable at 130.
Wow.
I don't think he'd go to 135. But Chakal's right. He doesn't have a huge frame. He's a thin guy. He's very narrow.
Yeah.
You know?
There you go. All right, let's go ahead and let's go to the phones here. I know Corey's jonesing to get on here. Corey Lee. You're live.
Yeah, what's up, man? What's going on, man?
Corey.
Y'all having a great
show. What's up, VIP?
He's the only one here that can call his shot and say, I want to get
VIP
on, and like 2 minutes later, I put him on. You know what I mean?
Speed dial, Daddy.
Corey, is it true that you picked Sandor Martin to upset Mikey Garcia?
No, I didn't, but I do want to say that I did think really hard about it because I was watching Ness break down the odds on the fight, and he was like, if you put down $100, you can win back $1,000 just by picking Martin. And I was like, damn, let me go check the background of this guy. And I didn't see anything on his resume that would give Mikey any scares. So I think this was 100% based on Mikey's work ethic and his self. Yeah. I think this had a lot to do with Mikey, not a whole lot to do with Martin. Okay, Martin was going to come in like a professional, like he was supposed to do. But Mikey has that thudding power where when he sits down on his punches, he gets rid of you like he did Sergey Lipinets, you know. And smaller guys, I feel like, you know, he could have did his thing against, you know, like a Martin. So I thought, you know, that he would, you know, I thought he would dispose of Martin. If Mikey Garcia, the rematch will show a lot. That's what I'm going to say. But I really truly feel like if Mikey Garcia is in the A-class shape that we all know him to be in, he stops Martin, you know. But it's one of those things, he's got to dig deep, you guys, and only he can do this. This is all on Mikey, you know what I mean? Robert Garcia was smiling. His whole camp was Big G was smiling. I didn't get any of the smiles after the fight. I didn't think anybody should be smiling after the fight, you know. Mikey Garcia let his fans down. He was in his hometown crowd, you know what I mean? And it was all these fireworks going off, everybody having a great time, and Mikey just shit the bed, man.
Yeah.
He really did.
He
man.
Really did.
And, you know, and you're a professional. People come to see you, over 8,000 people. You know, right now it's probably hard to get money out there where they're at. You know what I mean? And, you know, Mikey's saying he gives back so much. Why don't you give the fans a good performance, dude? The fuck you been doing the whole training camp, dude? You came in the fucking weigh-in flabby as shit. The fight is at 145, dude. You're a 140-pound fighter, dude. Some of these fucking professionals got to be held accountable, you guys. I mean, like, what the fuck, man? When do we come up with a weight division at 145? You know?
I thought you were going to do that Tupac line that hit him up. Yeah, he got to go back down to 140. You reminded me of Tupac. Remember Tupac did that line at when we hit him up? He goes looking all flabby like Larry Holmes and shit. Remember that?
Yeah.
I thought you were going to bust out some Tupac, Mikey, hit him up when you said that.
Mikey, you got to understand, Mikey's a professional, but, like, you got to have a different level of professionalism to make weight and stuff like that. Like, Mikey knew what it was, man. I think he just pulled his A-class card, you know, by switching weights at the last minute. You know, it was at 140, and I believe it changed to 145. That right there was a red flag, man. You know, that right there was a red flag right there. You know, you can't make 140.
He's right.
Like, what the fuck?
He's
like,
right.
What the fuck you been doing the whole time? Like, you know what I mean? Like, these professionals, guys, at the end of the day, these guys are prize fighters. You know what I mean? That is part of your, you know what I mean, prize fighting. You have to make weight, you know, unless you're a heavyweight. And even the heavyweights need to start making weight. Like, Tyson Fury's going to have to be in a whole lot better shape than that if he thinks he's going to be using. Yeah, Beavs. I'm back, baby. What's happening? What's happening, baby?
Don't worry about
that,
man. Don't worry about that. Usyk's like a snack. Usyk's like a snack to Fury, baby. He's like a snack.
Yeah, I'm back.
Fury's a little big. I think Fury might be a little bit too big, but I don't know. I thought AJ was going to be too big for him, too, so who knows?
Let me tell you this before I head out, you guys. You know, I've been telling you guys Usyk's been the best for over 3-4 years now.
No,
I didn't get to go on the post-fight show after the fight, man, you know, but I really feel like Usyk did a hell of a job. I told you what I knew what he could do this whole time. I've been telling you guys show after show for years how good Usyk finally was, and I finally think it all came to fruition that night of the fight. The rematch goes the same exact way, if not worse. I think he could have stopped Joshua at that last and final round, and I really truly believe Usyk seen a lot in Joshua that's going to open his eyes to a lot more. You want to talk about Joshua gets time to work on his craft and to get better to beat Usyk? Usyk has time to work on his craft to get better to beat Joshua. That's my call, Corley Boxing. You know what it is.
Hey, Corey, just real quick, man, do you think that Usyk beats AJ in the rematch? Oh, he just hung up. I was going to say, does he think that Usyk beats AJ in a rematch like Tony Bellew beat David Haye, as bad as that? I mean, do you think it's as bad as that, or do you think it's like... All right, let's go to Robert, ringside Robert, 530, you're live.
Fucking good evening, guys. How are you?
What's up,
Bobby?
Robert?
Well...
Oh, stop, Steve. Come on.
Oh, Joe, don't start your business again. anyway.
Guys, hit the like button if you're in the chat.
I have a real problem. Guys, I have a real problem with part-time fighters. You know, if you're going to get a paycheck by stepping into the ring, you need to be more dedicated to your sport. Mikey had that 2.5-year layoff when he was in the dispute with Bob Arum in Top Rank. And like you guys said, what, 3 fights in 3 years? I mean, of course, I'm old-fashioned. I believe a fighter should be as active as possible. So I will never approve of a one-year, a one-time-a-year fighter. That's just something I will never approve of. And Mikey came in completely out of shape last night. I thought he lost the fight. I scored it 96-94 for Martin. And, you know, what can I say? Mikey needs to decide, does he want to continue his boxing career? Does he want to be dedicated to it? Or has he made too much money and he doesn't care about it? He's got to answer these questions, because with the way that he picks out his fights, it leaves a lot to be desired. I mean, he's accomplished a lot in his career. He's won 4 world titles in 4 different weight classes. So you would think a guy who's won 40 fights and won 4 titles would be more dedicated to the sport he's supposed to love. But he sure don't act like it.
Robert, what do you I mean, again, man, he's fought 3 times in the last 3 years, and it sounds like he wants a rematch with this guy again, with Sandor Martin. Is there a point to that rematch? I mean, really, like, if he's going to fight again, I mean, he's a big-name guy. Why are you going to fight this guy again? To me, it makes no sense, man.
That's about as meaningful as Robbie having that rematch with the guy that threw him in the locker back in 63.
Oh, stop it.
63. Eric, the only thing that rematch would accomplish is what would happen if they had a rematch and Martin beat him again? Then Martin could say, okay, I beat this guy twice. Basically, who's next? You know? I mean,
yeah, that's a big deal for Martin, you know. I don't know. I don't, like I said, man, there's nothing holding Garcia back from fighting. Nothing.
I mean, it's not as meaningful as you having a rematch with that girl that kicked sand in your face at the beach back in 67. Who wants to see that?
Yeah, I'm really tired of these guys at 135 or 140 basically figuring out ways to avoid one another. I mean, my God, let's get some real fights on, people. I mean, what's the point of
Robbie,
sitting by? Yeah?
Did you know that Wallen and White have a rematch clause? What do you think about all these rematch clauses?
Well, first of all, I think, and I forget who said it yesterday, but somebody pointed out somewhere yesterday I heard that rematch clauses are useless because what you end up doing is you end up delaying other boxing business. Number one, I think Wallen has a good shot of winning that fight. I don't think he's going to be a pushover for White. I mean, White probably thinks he's going to walk in there, win the fight, and then get his guaranteed title shot. Well, what happens if Wallen wins? Well, Wallen gets the rematch Fury, and you know the trouble that Wallen gave Fury the first time they fought. Tyson Fury ended up getting 47 stitches.
He laced him with the gloves, though. He laced him with the laces on the glove. That wasn't a clean shot.
Right, but the point is, he still created damage. Doesn't matter how it was done.
That was like when Iron Mike Sharp, he had that cast. He used to just lace people with the cast.
Iron Mike Sharp. Yeah. He always had that cast on. Remember that?
That was an Iron Mike Sharp move, man. That wasn't legal.
Combat Sports Media says, why would fans be invested in Mikey's future matchups if he can't get past Sandor? A rematch needs to happen. Listen, every time you lose a fight, a rematch doesn't need to happen.
No, it does not.
People are going to be interested in Mikey Garcia anyway. Mikey Garcia is a much bigger name than Sandor anyway. He can regroup from this. He can move forward and get big money fights. However, if he loses to Sandor again, those big money fights, are they still there?
No. And, well, no. I don't know if you saw
not
going
to lose it to him twice.
I don't know if you saw the interview with Eddie Hearn last night, Eric, when he was talking about the whole Devin Haney situation. He flat out said, if Mikey doesn't look good, then he has to go back to the back of the line because he's got other people that need those fights.
I agree, man. I don't like this, you know, certain fighters, you have to beat them twice, but they only have to beat you once. That's BS. I don't like that.
Yeah, no. And when I heard about the Wallen-White rematch, I'm like, what's the point? There's no title at stake. I mean, the only thing that's at stake on the 30th is if White wins or Wallen wins, they get a guaranteed title shot because they become the mandatory.
I don't believe that's accurate. Okay, a couple things here.
All right.
Number one, I don't know that that's accurate. Is that accurate that Wallen gets a title shot?
If he beats White,
because Dillian White.
White gets a title
Dillian
shot if
White
he wins.
But Robbie, here's the thing.
Okay.
This is what Eddie Hearn said. This is what Eddie Hearn said. Because Dillian White has a WBC interim heavyweight title, that's why there's a rematch clause. I mean, cut the crap.
Come on.
Oh, really?
It.
Okay.
Real quick, Luis Reyes, thank you so much, man. He's a new subscriber from Boston. Steve,
hey, way to go.
He's from Boston. There you go. Thank you so much, man. We appreciate it. And Mario Figueroa, thank you so much. He says that Hulk Hogan always had a rematch clause, and I agree that he did. Always had a rematch clause.
What you going to do, brother, when the Beaver Maniacs run wild on you, Daddy?
That's right.
Oh, brother. Well, speaking
of
real quick. All right.
Real quick, who do you got next week, Shakur or do you got Herring?
No, I got Semper Fi all the way, man. The Room Marines, man.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going with Herring.
Well,
Herring,
you knew you were talking
you
about
just,
once in a while.
Robert, do you actually just like losing every week, or do you want to win some?
Every
I don't
time
understand.
You and Robbie have the same pick, it's good.
Every time you and Robbie have the same pick, it's almost, and I have the opposite pick, you guys almost always
Robbie
lose.
Robbie picked Tio just like the Beast. What happened?
He picked them right after you, by the way. Yes, he did.
No,
so
he
so then you copied off Robert, then is what you're saying.
No, Mrs. Herrick told me that.
When are you talking to Mrs. Herrick?
Once in a while I get that. But anyways, Mrs. Herrick said that Robbie picked Teal.
Yeah,
right.
Online bingo. We were playing online bingo one day, and in the chat she said it to me.
You were playing online bingo.
I'm getting a little disappointed with Mr. Lopez too and all his business. I mean, if you're gonna confront a guy like Devin Haney, then put pen to paper and make your threats real. Don't put on a display.
He can't. There's no contract.
My point is, Eric, after he disposes of Kambosos, then he needs to put pen to paper and quit getting on TV and making a fool out of himself.
Oh, that's terrible. That's harsh. Listen,
Robert,
man, that whole thing with Teofimo is all self-imposed. The fact that that whole COVID thing, he could have wrecked it. He could have been fighting him this December. He could have been fighting this December.
Yep.
Robbie.
If
you have any stimulus, do you have any stimulus check money left? Because Herring is a plus 500. Even if you put $20 on Herring, that's a huge score for you. It's like $100 left.
That's about as much as I would put on Herring, $20.
Well, you know what? That sounds like a reasonable investment. I just might do that.
How much you put on Herring? Beef?
I'll probably put $100 on Herring.
For real? Do me a favor. Just put that $100 in an envelope and send it to me, all right? Because he ain't winning that fight.
I'm mad that I didn't bet Fury with the stoppage proposition. I just bet this kid bet me $100 straight up. I took Fury. He took Wilder. I'm so mad. I tried to call my brother when he was down Seabrook to put the bet in. I wanted to bet Fury with the stoppage proposition.
Now, Eric, what are you going to do next? What are you going to do? What are you going to do next Sunday, Eric, when Stevenson loses?
I'm not going to do anything because it ain't going to happen. You guys are living in fantasy land. Listen, my dad was a Marine, all right? I'm telling you, Herring ain't winning this fight.
He's a Marine.
I don't care. You tell you he's an Olympian, son.
He's
an
Olympian. Hey, Semper Fi, brother. That's who's going to win. So there you go.
Semper Fi.
I did two tours overseas, baby.
Two tours.
Two.
Not the coordinated Olympic tours, son.
5'10", 72-inch reach.
And did you see, you know, you talking about tough quarters. Did you see, like, the quarters he had to live in while he was over there? It was insane. Shakur.
How it is back.
You know, that's tough.
You know how these things are.
That's tough, man. All right, Robert, man, we're going to put you on hold.
All right, see ya.
Weasel.
Why do you call him a weasel, man? What's wrong with you?
Well, he just slithers around here when he calls in.
Slithers. What's the matter with you? What's the matter with you, my own? My goodness, babe. What's the matter with you?
Hey, soldier. Combat soldier, pick up your weapon and follow me. Airborne infantry. Yeah, that's
we
a fight, baby.
Marine Corps infantry. Do you ever listen to those, like, while you're working out or anything?
No, I have nightmares of that shit. I was in that military for 3 years, don't you remember?
No, I know, but I'm wondering, like, they're really, like, you know,
they
help you, man.
I
really
will
do.
Say.
They help you get through it.
When the drill sergeant used to freaking, like, do the cadence, like,
yeah.
Pump me up. When he's doing those, like, 30-mile hikes.
Yeah.
Hey, soldier! Combat soldier! Pick up your weapon and follow me! Airborne infantry!
All right, before we get to the upcoming fights here, a little message for our friends from Manscaped here. Do you know what's spookier than seeing a black cat on Halloween? It's shaving with anything other than Manscaped. When it comes to below-the-waist grooming, there is no need to carve your pumpkins this Halloween because Manscaped is here to upgrade your grooming experience. Go from a bite-sized candy bar to a king-size candy bar and join the 2 million men worldwide by going to manscaped.com for 20% off and free shipping with the code RINGSIDEREPORTER. Make sure to use the code RINGSIDEREPORTER when you order anything from there, and you'll get 20% off plus free shipping, and plus it kicks back a little bit to us too, which is nice. Manscaped is here to save the day and make sure you're smelling fresh with their new refined body wash. Fellas, the ladies love their signature scent, and it will scare away the vampires. Unlock your confidence with the Performance Package 4.0. Inside, you'll find the holy grail of men's grooming items. They've made it easy for you to upgrade your grooming routine. It's a full moon out, and the werewolf is howling. It's time to tackle that problem with the Lawnmower 4.0. Their finely tuned products feature a cutting-edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming incidents thanks to their advanced skin-safe technology. The Lawnmower 4.0 is easily the greatest trimmer on the planet. Did I mention it's waterproof also? This trimmer is a shower essential. The Performance Package 4.0 also includes the Weed Whacker, a total game changer for the men's hygiene arsenal. The Weed Whacker is a nose, ear, and hair trimmer that provides proprietary skin-safe technology that helps with nicks and snags. Seal the deal with Manscaped's liquid formulations, their crop preserver deodorant, and Crop Reviver Toner will make sure your pumpkins stay fresh. Manscaped even threw in two free gifts to their Performance Package 4.0, the Manscaped Boxers, which I love. I can't get enough of those things. I love those things. They're so comfortable. And the Shed Travel Bag. Bring your comfort and boxers to another level. If you're looking like Wolverine and haven't cut your nails recently, be sure to look into the Shears 2.0 Nail Kit. They have a bunch of other life-changing products on their website, so be sure to check them out. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code RINGSIDEREPORTER at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping with the code RINGSIDEREPORTER at manscaped.com. There you go. You know, I just ordered some body wash from them. They came out with, like, some new products. They had, like, a body wash and some deodorant. I think it's coming out in November. Everything we've gotten from them, everything I've ordered, it's all been really good. It really has been, man. So if you haven't tried them, definitely try them out, man. What are you waiting for? It is. It's always a good stuff over there, man, for sure. All right, let's talk about, let's see here. What do we got? The upcoming fights. Upcoming fights next. All right, let me find them here. All right. October 22nd in Montreal on ESPN+. Plus. Oscar Rivas versus Ryan Rosicky, 12 rounds for the vacant WBC Bridgerweight title. For real. Bridgerweight, right? Bridgerweight. Why are we doing it? Well, I don't understand this. Why are we doing Bridgerweight? It's just
like
dumb,
it.
Man. Stop it.
I don't like it.
Not watching it. You know what? I'm not watching it just because. I'm drawing a line in the sand, dude. how I'm living now.
I don't like it.
Sebastian Bouchard versus Sergio Ortega, 8 rounds welterweights on the undercard there. Not great, guys. Not great. Let's see here. October 23rd in Atlanta on ESPN and ESPN+. Dale from Chi-Town, thank you so much. He said, Lois the Landscaper. There you go, Beeb.
She's the best.
Jesus. We're going to break this fight down in a minute. Jamel Herring versus Shakur Stevenson, 12 rounds for Herring's WBO junior lightweight title. Xander Zayas on the undercard versus Dan Carpensi, 8 rounds junior middleweights. Nico Walsh Ali versus James Wesley II. There you go. 4 rounds middleweights. He's a heavyweight, isn't he?
Say that one more time.
Nico Walsh, he's a heavyweight, right?
Thought he was a light heavyweight.
They got him down as middleweights here. I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know. Who cares? And then Evan Holyfield, also on the undercard here, versus Charles Stanford. I'd like to see if they – hopefully they show that. Hopefully they show that fight or we can catch it on ESPN Plus or something like that. And that's it for next weekend. And then the weekend following, you got the Dillon White-Otto Wallin fight. And then after that, we got another big one. We got the Canelo fight. So some big fights coming up each weekend. Beeb, let's break this fight down real quick. This is the Jamel Herring versus Shakur Stevenson. Odd Shark has multiple sports books on there. So if you go there, you can see odds on multiple sports books. Beeb, Shakur is a minus 1,100 to win this fight. I'll be honest with you. I think it should be more. Jamel Herring is not getting past Shakur Stevenson. This is not a close fight, and I'll be surprised if Herring wins 2 rounds in this fight. Herring has got zero chance to win this fight. Zero. And I'm basing that off a couple of things. Shakur, I don't believe Shakur is going to be able to hurt Herring. Herring's a big guy. I don't believe Shakur is going to be able to hurt Herring. Shakur doesn't hurt many people. Shakur is largely a point fighter. You know what I mean? He's able to hit you and not get hit. And the reason he doesn't have many knockouts, and you can probably attest to this too, he doesn't look like he puts weight behind his punches.
Doesn't sit down on his shots.
He doesn't sit down on his shots at all. Nope. He's very point fighting. You know, he's very much of a point fighter where he hits you and he doesn't get hit. And when he's out of range, he's out of range. He's out of range for everything, okay? But he's sharp. He's fast. And I think there's going to be times in this fight where Herring is going to be confused as to what's happening to him. I think there's times in this fight where Herring is just going to be overwhelmed by the speed. I don't think that there's anything that Herring can bring to the table that can stop Shakur Stevenson from beating him that night.
Here's the problem with Shakur Stevenson. Nobody likes to get hit, but some fighters seem to be overly concerned with it, right? Mm-hmm. He's never been pressed in a fight by a bigger, stronger guy. And Herring is a really, really good boxer. He's got an outstanding jab, right? And he boxes well from the outside, and he's got a real solid inside game, too. He knows how to throw those short uppercuts and short left hooks inside and goes to the body well. So Herring is going to pressure Stevenson, right? And he's going to be pumping that jab out in his face over time. Stevenson likes to go in and out. He's kind of a little bit of an ambush guy, and he throws quick flurries and he goes back out, right? Stevenson fights too much on the back foot and allows Herring to control the pace because Herring does throw a lot of punches, right? He's very aggressive, but he's very versatile too. And he's not as slow as people think he is. Like the speed disparity is not going to be that great here. He's got pretty quick hands and pretty quick feet himself. Now, is Shakur faster? Yeah, Shakur's faster because he's throwing his punches faster because he's not sitting down on them, right? So if Stevenson is allowed to keep coming forward, putting that physical and mental pressure on Stevenson, Herring's allowed to do that, then eventually Stevenson's going to wear down. He can't move the whole fight. Can't. At some point, he's going to have to sit down and get his respect, right? And he's never had to do that in any fight before because he just was never in there with a guy that is this big, this strong, and can hit he can hit pretty hard too. This was a guy that was up at 135 at one point, and he's a really big 130-pounder, and he's a strong 130-pounder, and he can grind it out on the inside very well. So I think at some point this fight's going to turn into a war of attrition, and I'm not so sure Stevens is going to be ready for that, right? Because Herring's been in a few of those war of attritions in his career, and he's passed them, right? Got more experience than Stevenson, right? So I think Herring is going to wear Stevenson down in this fight. I think he's going to grind out a unanimous decision. He could get a late stoppage here because of the pressure, because of his size, because of his versatility of not only being able to fight on the outside, but fighting on the inside too. Stevenson doesn't like it on the inside. He doesn't stay very long in the pocket. He's throwing punches, and before he can even land, like finish a combination, his feet are halfway out the door. I don't think that's going to work against a guy like Herring. Herring's going to make him pay. Herring's going to put, you know, some adversity on Stevenson. And I want to see how he reacts to it because I have never seen Stevenson react to adversity. I've seen Herring react to adversity and overcome it, not only in boxing but in life. All right, so I'm going to go with Herring here. I think Herring is going to grind out a real gritty, hard-fought unanimous decision, and I think he's going to trap Stevenson in corners and on the ropes, and I think, you know, his inside game is actually going to play a big factor in this fight. His uppercuts and his body shots on the inside are going to play a big factor. So I like Stevenson here by unanimous decision. I think he's going to pull the upset.
I think that there's no way Herring is trapping anybody in a corner on the ropes. He's not trapping anybody anywhere. His footwork is nowhere near Stevenson's footwork. His foot speed is nowhere near Stevenson's foot speed.
I think it's comparable.
I don't think it is at all. And I don't think his hand speed.
He's
an athlete, no question. Listen, no question. And I tell you what, his last fight really impressed me. It really did. And you know what? I wasn't real impressed with Herring. But after his last couple of fights, I've kind of gotten on that bandwagon. But you're talking about somebody special. I think that Shakur Stevenson really is somebody special.
I don't know, man. He hasn't looked good in a while to me.
I think that he's got faster hands, faster feet. My only complaint, and I know it's your complaint as well, is he doesn't sit down on those punches. You know? And I know you have more complaints about it. I'm talking about for myself.
No,
my
I
only
know.
Complaint
I know.
With him is that he doesn't sit down on those punches.
Let me ask you this. If he can't hit Herring with anything to stop him in his tracks and get his respect, and Herring keeps coming forward, do you not think that pace fight with him being forced back, not him going back on his own volition, but him being forced back, you don't think that's going to tire him out in the later rounds? Do you think he can move the whole fight? Do you think he's as physically strong as Herring when they wrap up in the clinch? And Herring walks him back into a corner or walks him back to the ropes and then releases the clinch and then just starts ripping the body shots. How do you think he's gonna handle that? Herring is undefeated at 130, folks. I don't want to hear about his two losses at 135. He is undefeated at 130. The new record at 130. We're
right.
Racing to 135.
I think it's a big difference. I really do think it's a big difference.
New record. He's got a new record.
I will give you that. I think it is a big difference when you move weight classes. That being said, again, man, he's not going to be able to catch up with Shakur. And let me tell you what, Shakur may not have knockout power.
He's undefeated in 4 years.
He may not have knockout power with the one-hitter, you know, the one-hitter shot type power. But let me tell you what, those punches aren't easy, you know. And pretty soon, if that was the case, then everybody would just walk him down and walk right through him and then just, you know what I mean, do what you're saying Herring's going to do to him.
Yeah.
He hits hard, okay? Nobody likes to get hit. He can hit. He may not have that knockout, that one-punch knockout type of power, but he can hit, and he will definitely get his respect. I don't think there's any question about that.
Yuta Ito is a very good fighter, very good fighter. Akendo is a good fighter, right? There's Frampton's a good fighter. You know, he's been in there with some decent guys.
Yes, for sure.
Been in there with some decent guys.
I would say though that Shakur is the best guy he's ever been in with.
Well, I don't know. I mean, this is a guy that has 24 fights, right? How many fights does Shakur have? 16. I mean, I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see.
We'll see. We'll see what happens. And, you know, like I said, man, it's, you know, you can say Shakur, you know, Shakur's been to the Olympics, but, you know, it's not like Herring hasn't been, you know, didn't have a good amateur career either. You know, he knows what it's like. He's fought a lot of different styles as well. But, yeah, I don't know. What is everybody picking for this? I mean, you know, I'd be curious what the chat is. Yeah, let's do a poll. Do a poll and see how many people are picking Herring versus Shakur. The other thing I want to talk about, Beeb, the minus 1,100 on Herring. Now,
I'm seeing 650. I don't know.
I'm seeing like on Oddshark. If you go to Oddshark, they'll show you a bunch of different sports books. My bookie, I think, has them at like minus 930. Okay. If that's the case, I think you got to put a little bit of money on Herring, right?
Yeah, you got to put Herring.
I think you have to, even if you think Shakur's going to win. I mean, that's a big deal. I mean, that's you know, you got to put something on him. Not a whole lot. I wouldn't put a whole lot because you don't want to lose a whole lot. But, I mean, yeah. I think you got to put
Lopez, Christine Lopez knows both of them because she's in the amateur system. She knows Shakur. She works for USA Boxing. She's picking Herring, too.
Yeah.
That gives me a lot of confidence. When Christine picks someone. Christine's in line. Got Robbie and Christine. Now, if Teddy Alves picks Herring, then I'm changing my pick.
You're changing your pick, son.
Yeah. I don't like Teddy Alves jinxes all of us all the time.
You pick Wilder? You pick Wilder? Wilder lost?
Stevenson win by KO?
What's that?
Stevenson win by KO?
No. No, it'll be unanimous decision. It'll be like 118 somewhere in there, 10-2 fight. Maybe. I don't, but yeah, that's how I see the fight going down. I see it like a 10-2 fight.
Yeah, most people see it your way. I mean, you have the consensus pick here, so I'm the outlier. Let's see with the chat. But see, I have a very heavy influence on the chat because they respect my picks. They respect my picks very, very well, like very greatly, I should say.
I think D-Styles said it best. It's going to be a boring 12-round decision. I think he's right.
He hasn't been right lately. He's been in a slump lately.
Oh, stop it. What's the matter with you?
Even the great ones have you know, they fall into a slump. Remember the natural? Remember that movie, The Natural?
Stop.
When Roy Hobbs was in that little...
And then he
hit
the lights out
slump
at the end. I remember that part.
Yeah, that was 10 years later, but it doesn't matter.
It was 10 years later? Nacho going for he says 8-4. Yeah, Herring wins. Anybody wants any action on this? Anybody
Nacho's
wants any
picking
pod
Herring?
Anybody wants
it's
any action on the pod
now
bet? It's a done deal. I will do it. No questions
Nacho
asked. I will take Shakur with no questions asked. That's how confident I am in this pick. This is a slam dunk. I would have it the 4-star lock of the year. I gotta
do the poll again. I fucked up. I forgot. I put Herring by decision twice. Herring by KO twice.
What are you doing?
I fucked up.
My
I'm
fault.
Sorry. My fault, guys. I'm going to do it over again.
You guys doing?
Well, thank you, Nacho, for correcting me.
From this day, you'll be my new fool.
Georgie, 508, you're live.
Hey, yo, what's happening, people?
Georgie.
I feel a little sick, though, so the energy's kind of low. Bear with me. Listen.
Okay, Georgie.
Mikey is on the fucking slide. I was listening to the fucking...
Well, that's going out on the limb.
Commentary. I was listening to the commentary right during the fight, and they do put it fucking perfectly for everybody out there to understand. He said that Mikey is pretty much a 1-2. Mikey really ain't got no left hook. Mikey ain't got no uppercut. Mikey, is the best thing that he do is that 1-2. And when that 1-2 don't work, my nigga just don't got plan B. That's the bottom line with Mikey. Now, moving on from that shit, let's go to Shakur and Haney. And Haney, that's the young cats out there, right? That's the two young cats, the prospect, the guys that they out there being pushed by the forces that be. Do you guys think that any of these two guys will ever lose a decision to a regular fighter? Yo, yo.
I don't know, Georgie. That's a tough question to ask, my friend, or to answer, I should say.
Why?
Because boxing is so unpredictable sometimes.
True that. That's fact. But if I gotta go the way I think, you know how I think these motherfuckers out there push who they wanna push. I will go with fucking Shakur beating anybody, you know, until they fight a big name. Stevenson the same shit, you know. I mean, the fuck is the other name? Shakur Stevenson and what's the other name?
Jamal Herring.
No. The young cat that I say that they will not lose. It's Shakur and fucking Haney.
Well, Stevenson. Haney, okay.
Yeah. And Haney. Those two, they've been pushed, baby. They've been pushed big time. They got that machine behind them. So anybody thinking that these people are going to lose is on top of decision, baby, this not going to say. That's never going to happen. That's not going to happen until 2 or 3 years from now that these people get their money back from them. They're going to fight many, many, and beat them all by decision or knockout, whatever the fuck it is. So I don't even know what make any sense here. Who you say going to win? Harry?
Stevenson's going to win.
I like Herring.
What's his record?
25-2.
Who he lost to beats?
The one loss that I know is the Denis Shafikov guy at lightweight. Pretty tough guy. This was a guy that I thought beat, what's his name there? Robert Easter. I thought he beat Robert Easter, but they gave the decision.
He didn't beat Robert. There's no way he beat Robert Easter. Robert Easter's from Ohio. There's no way you get a decision. Robert Easter
threw him out of
him
after that fight.
From Pillar,
after that fight, they made him leave
Pope,
Ohio.
Son.
After
Trump,
that fight, they made him
nobody's
leave Ohio.
Nobody's making Robert Easter is Ohio, son. UC's the number two ranked team in the nation, son. University of Cincinnati, son. Number two, son.
I saw Robert Easter at South Station down in South Boston the other day.
What South Station? What South Station?
In South Boston. They threw him out of Ohio. He's living in Boston now.
Stop it. Nobody lives in Boston.
Rocky Marciano from Brooklyn.
Listen, guys, I got to go. But before I go, I want to tell you something, bro. Beebs, do you remember way back when I started coming into the show at the beginning? I want to give a testimony because I had a fucking fallout with TVV, and I got kicked out of there. And you guys welcomed me here. I will always appreciate that.
Wow, that means a lot when you just said that, man. Wow, that was very nice of you to say that.
Absolutely.
But TBV let you back, though. TBV let you back,
they,
right?
It's always redemption, baby. It's always redemption. That's the most beautiful part. A lot of people say they never fall. But if you fall,
Ness has a much softer heart now than he used to. Ness has a much softer heart than he used to. I said Ness has a much softer heart than he used to.
He maybe it's time. Time heals all wounds, and time make people grow.
Yeah. Big people grow.
You know?
I mean Robbie still needs a lot of work, but there's still hope.
Because I just want you guys to keep growing as a boxing channel, because you guys are my second favorite. I'm going to say TVB is my favorite, because pretty much that's when I met you. That's when... You know, I started interacting with you and other people here in the boxing community on YouTube, you know. But you guys got a fucking big place on my heart. You guys do.
I appreciate
everybody
that.
Everybody out there,
that,
support
man.
The channel, donate. I got to go, and I love you guys.
All right, Georgie.
That was nice, man.
That was very good, very good.
Very nice to hear that.
Area code 773-773, you're live.
Do you guys remember when Mikey Garcia was in talks to fight Manny Pacquiao?
Kevin?
Yeah, I do. I love this kid.
You guys remember?
Yes, I do. I do, Kevin.
Whoever won that fight, they've been talking about these guys are the best in the world. They're the two best in the weight class. And that's because they don't have to prove themselves. They don't have to fight the up-and-comers and earn their spot. It's like once you get to a position, a big name, pretty much just stay at the top and you all just fight the same people over and over. You don't got to keep proving yourself. And that's just a prime example with Mike Garcia. He's like, oh, it's in Spence, so now he's going to fight Pacquiao. And it's like he'd never have to earn his spot and fight with some up-and-comers that are worthy. They'll give him a camp. But this time, it's a cherry-picking gone wrong. It's a cherry-pick gone wrong. And this is the thing with Mikey Garcia. He always seems like he's one shot away from a title shot. He's one win away. And hopefully now he'll get put back down where he belongs as a B-level, maybe even a C-level fighter who needs to earn his keep, earn his spot, not getting these big opportunities because he doesn't deserve them. Am I right?
I would agree with that. I don't think Mikey Garcia deserves a lot of, you know, but what is he, you know, and like I said, I mean, I think, though, you know, he could take this loss and just move forward. He doesn't even have to fight this guy again and still get a big fight. That's what I think.
That's what I'm saying.
Because he's Mikey Garcia.
That's what I mean.
You know? Is it fair? No.
Same thing with Andy Ruiz. It's the same thing with Andy Ruiz. He's always, oh, let's put him in there with Usyk. Yeah, let's do that. Put him in there with Usyk. Say, what? What? We got so many fighters coming up trying to get their spot, get their respect. And these dudes, like, just Andy Ruiz keeps recycling the same fighters. It's absurd. Absurd.
You know who I would like to say? I'd like to see Andy Ruiz and that Frank Sanchez. Is it Frank Sanchez, right?
Yeah, that would be a good
fight. I think
that's
a good fight. I think that's a solid fight, man.
Isn't it, that guy's still a little green, though. He doesn't have that many fights.
No, but he knows how to fight. You know what I mean? His defense is solid. His defense is solid.
He went to camp with Joshua. He was in Joshua's camp
before
that fight. I called him a Benedict Arnold, man, because he was I was teasing him. We interviewed him on D-Style's channel once, and I said, when you were helping Joshua beat your fellow Mexican Andy Ruiz, I said, what was your friend saying in your family? Did they call you Benedict Arnold? He started laughing. It was hilarious. One of my best interviews.
Good shit.
Did you know who Benedict Arnold was?
Yeah. Kevin, who do you like all next right. week? Do you like Stevenson or you like Herring?
Stevenson. I like Herring. I think I saw one fight of his recently, and he really didn't look good. So I'll go with Stevenson.
Wow, taking a dump all over Herring, man. The guy served his country. He ain't giving him no credit. That's cold-blooded, boy.
All right.
It's cold-blooded. All right, Kevin, we're going to get running. 818. 818, you're live.
Hey, man, how's it going? As for the Stevenson and Shakur fight, no, the Herring and Shakur fight, I think Herring has to, like, yes, rush him, man. He got to try to bulldoze right through him. If not, he's just going to get outboxed. And if he does take the risk of going forward and trying to rush him, he might get stopped. And I think he might get stopped late if he does. But his best chance is just trying to go forward, cut off the ring, and just outwork him.
See, this guy on the phone right now, this is a perfect example of a guy who knows what he's talking about, Beebe. I want you to listen to him, educate me. I want you to listen to him, educate you, because I failed trying to educate you. This guy on the phone knows what he's talking about, Beebe.
You see how Herring looked against the great Carl Frampton in his last fight?
Carl Frampton was washed, son. You know he was washed.
Look at the chat. Look at the poll. Look at the poll narrowing.
What the poll says. Anybody, let me tell you what. Nobody
is
betting me on this fight.
Right now.
Nobody is betting me on this fight. Nobody. Nobody is betting me on this fight. Nobody.
It's because, you know, Shakur has the big amateur pedigree, man, so it's hard to go against that, you know? And he looks pretty good. He just kind of looks lazy, and he does look lazy, and he does kind of seem to lack a killer instinct because he's scared of letting his hands go, even when he's obviously outmatched the guy. His last guy, he could have got rid of that guy. He just, you know, pressed the gas a little bit, and he was scared to do it. And if Herring could rush him and try to hurt him, he might even try to get him out of there, you know? Or he might even get him out of there. But this is a long shot. I would favor the fight probably 60%. Shakur, maybe even 70.
I would say like 90, Shakur. I don't think there's any way he gets it. Who cares what that poll says, son?
Stevenson by KO is at 0%.
Son,
Herring by KO is at 18%.
None of you guys are breaking the bookie. I'm telling you that right now. So it doesn't matter what that poll says. All you guys cannot
be
bet.
Like, this is going to be like Tyson Douglas all over again.
You guys can't bet anyway. You guys don't win any real money.
So Cormac, Herring might not have knockout power, but from what we saw in Shakur's last fight, he doesn't like getting hit, man. The times he did get hit, he was pawing at his cheek, and it was like a small mark. It wasn't even anything big compared to what Joel Gonzalez had on Friday, and he was just working through that. And then Shakur was just pawing at his little scratch. So I just look at it like that, you know. If Herring can, you know, just get him out of his game, that's his best shot.
All right, there you go, man. There you go. We got a guy. Thank you for so much. Hey, what was your name? What was your name again?
You can call me Eddie, bro. Thank you. This is my first time
listening
to you guys.
Perfect,
thank
man.
You.
Oh, that's awesome, man. Call back.
Thank you
man.
So much,
sure.
Eddie.
Eddie.
Call
sure.
in again, please, Eddie. Thank you.
It was a good call. It was a smart caller. You know what I mean? Smart caller.
He was all right. I mean, he was. You know,
I mean,
he
knew what he was talking about. I mean, he knew what he knew to pick Shakur.
I mean, you were coaching him, but don't
he
worry
was
about.
Named after Tupac.
I can't even believe
you was quoting Tupac earlier.
50-50 right now. This is a good sign.
It's a good sign for Stevenson fans. I'll tell you that. Anybody who picks Stevenson, if you go up our poll, that's perfect for you guys. Perfect for you guys. Area code 562, you're live.
A lot of new callers today.
Hello, hello.
562, you're live. There you go.
My bad. You guys hear me?
Yeah, who are we speaking of?
George. All right,
George.
Man. Hey, I just want to say, fuck yeah, Mike Garcia, that was pathetic, man. He's a bum. I've always said he's just up there. He's just viewed as an A-class fighter because of his brother, you know, and Ellie Setback and all them, making him popular on YouTube, but and Bob Arum, you know. You see, as soon as he left Top Rank, and that's what I tell you guys about Top Rank, they got world-class matchmakers, you know? And you see how Pacquiao left Top Rank, and then look at what happens. He loses in the first DAZN fight because I think DAZN set him up. I think they wanted him to lose to get him out of there so he don't whoop none of the young guys, you know? But anyways, which one of you guys said Andy Ruiz versus Frank Sanchez is a good fight? Man, you guys hit the nail on the coffin on that one because I've been matching up all these heavyweights in my head, like which one would be a good fight, and I never thought of that one. That one would be, I'll pay for that, you know, pay-per-view stuff. But I don't know, what you guys think about Mikey Garcia? You think he's, you think he was ever an A-plus fighter, or it's all just been one big illusion, huh? That's what I think.
I don't know, man. You know, he's had some pretty good wins, but when he's had Adrian Bronner, Robert Easter, those are his two biggest wins, I think. I'll be honest. I think those are probably his two biggest wins that I can think of right off the top of my head.
Yeah, look at everybody Spence, beats Adrian Bronner, you know what I mean? And look back on Robert Easter, what has he done after that loss?
He
not
was
really
a lot
left.
Bigger than Easter, too. I mean, as far as, like, he was fighting at the weight longer than Easter was, put it that way.
Yeah.
You know, but, yeah, you know, when he stepped up against Errol Spence, everybody knew he was going to get washed. I didn't know he was going to get washed like that. Where he wasn't winning any rounds. But, you know, his inactivity, you know, one fight every three, you know, one he fights once a year, basically. Three fights in 3 years. That ain't going to cut it, man. Not at this level.
Yeah.
Not at this level.
Yeah. All right, man. All right, well, thank you, guys. You guys are a great show, man. Keep it up.
Oh, thank you so much, man. We appreciate it, man. Thank you.
All right.
520-520, you're live.
What's going on, fellas?
What's happening? Who's talking to?
What's happening?
Mario
yes.
Figueroa.
Mario.
Hey, orale!
What's up?
Raza.
That's what I'm talking about. Hey, did you? Frank Sanchez and Andy are in the same camp, right?
Are they?
Yeah,
I don't
they're both with Eddie.
I think so.
Yeah, they're in the,
I'll take your word for it.
In the same camp.
Okay, okay.
Oh, wait, no, so yeah, they are, aren't they?
Told you you can't match him up, Eric. Jesus.
Come on, Eric.
Look at the poll, 52-49.
I know, what was I going to do?
52-49,
hey,
Eric,
pulling
ahead.
This is why Vegas wins all the money.
I'm with you,
with
Beef,
on the
Harry. I'm putting 100. Yeah, I'm putting 100
on
that one
next week. This is why we have intelligent callers like you, man. This is what we need.
There we go.
You know?
Nice.
Look at this. All right,
fellas, I got to bounce, man.
52-49.
All right, man. Thank you so much for calling in, man. Awesome, man. Yeah, so, man, I tell you what, man, and anybody who wants any action on that fight, I will gladly take the pie bets, anything. If Shakur loses, I'll take five pies or whatever. How many people? Nobody's taking that action, though, Beeb. Nobody wants to take a pie in the face. Nobody.
Look at this poll.
Nobody, son.
Poll is starting to really pull ahead from Shakur right now.
Great. That's wonderful. This is why Vegas collects all that money, son.
No, Vegas sucks.
Vegas collecting all that money, son. All right. Let's talk about the news and rumors here. Ryan Garcia, your boy, Beeb. What's wrong with your boy lately, man? He suffers a hand injury. They didn't say it was a broken. I didn't hear it was a broken hand. They just said hand injury. They were real kind of nonspecific on what it was, but he's going to have surgery, I believe, Monday, maybe. But anyway, the Joseph Diaz fight is off. All right, it's off the table. You know, listen, man, I wouldn't have a big problem with him breaking his hand or whatever he did to his hand. You know, I don't have a problem with that. What I do have a problem with is him, you know, in the mental health thing. I get it, man. But in between all this, you know, he pulled out of that fight for mental health reasons. Then he wound up on a beach somewhere with his girl 2 days later. You know, not a good look. It's not a good look at all. And then he's over there calling out Tank Davis, Devin Haney, and anybody else who's the top guy in the division. Like, dude, enough, just fight already. You know, it wouldn't even be bad if you just fought. Just fight already. Just get in the ring already. I don't get it, man.
Yeah, it's hard to figure out where this kid's head's at, you know. This is another situation of someone, is their heart really in it? Or, you know, are they, you know, people say, is he more concerned about just being an Instagram model or does he want to be a fighter? I don't know, man.
At this point, I don't know.
I mean, he's young enough where he could turn it all around. So it's not like he's on borrowed time, but we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah. I mean, either you want to fight or you don't want to fight. Doubting the fact that he's a fighter, I get you. He's a fighter and he's got heart and everything like that. But do you want to fight? You know, just like Mikey Garcia. Now, you know, we know what you got. We know we've seen it before. Do you want to continue to fight? Do you want to do this? I don't know.
Yeah.
Joseph Diaz, though, is back in. Eddie Hearn went on last night, said he would offer Joseph Diaz the same amount of money. I think it's $1.5 million. Is that right?
1.5, yeah.
1.5 million to fight Devin Haney on that same December 3rd date, or the date in, I guess, December.
December 3rd, yeah.
Do you think That's Joseph Diaz takes that?
I'm hoping he does, because I don't see where else he can go.
Not for that kind of money.
Here's my problem. Does Golden Boy have such a grudge against Eddie Hearn, because Eddie Hearn, you know, works with Canelo occasionally now, and do they feel slighted by Eddie Hearn because of that?
Yeah, but they're all on the zone, right?
I know, but you know how these guys hold grudges and stuff. So, you know, I'm just concerned.
Hey, when was the last Golden Boy card on the zone?
Trying to remember.
I think it's been a bit. No.
been a little while.
Yeah.
Isn't Joette, but I think Joette Gonzalez is a Golden Boy fighter, so they kind of had like a co-promotion.
Is he a Golden Boy fighter?
Yeah, he's a Golden Boy fighter. But he was on, I'm sorry, that was ESPN Plus.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. So, like, I'm trying to remember when the last Golden Boy card was on the zone.
I know De La Hoya's been wanting to go to Triller, but I don't know if he wants to go to Triller now, you know.
When was the last time Virgil Ortiz fought? When he fought, what's his name there? The Mean Machine, right? He fought Mean Machine.
Yeah. Kavaluskas or whatever? Was it Kavaluskas?
Yeah, he fought Kavaluskas, right? So I'm trying to remember. Yeah.
Robert's saying Golden Boy's last card was on the zone in September.
Yeah.
I mean, if you don't know, nobody knows. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
All right. So Dillian White is going to fight Otto Wallin in a couple of weeks. Eddie Hearn has revealed there is a rematch clause for that fight.
Jesus.
Why is there a rematch clause for that fight?
Eddie's saying because White has the interim WBC heavyweight title. And when there's this was his reasoning. Whenever a fighter is a megastar or he's a champion, we always give him a rematch clause. I mean, come on, Eddie. Please.
Stop. Just stop. You know what I mean? Like, what is the point? Now you're just going to hold up his title shot if he loses. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
Otto Wallin, now, Dillian White is actually guaranteed a shot at the title now, right?
Well, that's what they say.
They've been saying that for 5 years now. But
yeah.
He's the number one contender, blah, blah, blah. He's been in it for 5 years. We all heard the story. But if Wallin wins, they're not giving him a shot at Tyson Fury. He's not even in the matchroom camp, is he? Is Wallin in the matchroom camp? I don't think he is.
No, I don't think he
is. Then he ain't getting a shot, son.
Yeah, we don't know what's going to happen. But Fury's not going to fight him again. I mean, he already fought him.
No, for what? And he watched him the first time. The only exciting part of that fight was that cut. And the rest of the fight, he got washed. I mean, it was like nine rounds.
Yeah, I thought Fury won the fight 9-3, in my opinion.
Yeah, it wasn't that close, man.
I don't think it was a close fight.
No. Montana Love from Ohio, son. Ohio's been on a tear lately, Beebe.
Yeah.
We're the number two team in the country, the University of Cincinnati. We should be number one because we would wax Georgia. That's neither here nor there. We should be the number one team in the nation. We're number two. I get it. You haven't heard of us. You will, though. And also, too, Montana Love from Ohio signs with Matchroom this week. That's a good move. Montana is a real showman. He can fight. That's a good move, and they will match him accordingly. They will give him some really good fights. Really good fights. Some MMA news. Some of you guys may be interested in this. Some maybe not. I don't know. John Jones was kicked out of Jackson Winklejohn's camp after the domestic violence thing that happened in Vegas a couple weeks ago. Where apparently he had, I don't know if it's his wife or his fiance or the mother of his kids. It's one of the three. I don't know.
Yeah.
But his daughter, they went down to the front desk. I guess there was some altercation and his lady and his daughter went down to the front desk and his daughter told security to call the police. His daughter did. That's gotta be rough, man. So anyway, Jackson Wink said, hey, no more until you get help. No more until you figure this whole thing out.
Yeah.
You know? And I tell you what, man, he's then he came out in a tweet that's I guess since been deleted against Jackson Winklejohn, said some things about him, and then said something to the effect of he supports the people that are around him now because they didn't leave his side, blah blah blah. Listen, at some point when you keep losing stuff around you because of things that you're doing, you got to look in the mirror. You got to say, hey, wait a minute, maybe it's me. Can't be all these other people around me.
Yeah,
that just aren't sticking with me. There's got to be something else, too. Yeah, you got to self-reflect. Exactly. Exactly. All right, let's go to the phone. 612, you're live.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Who are we speaking with?
Yeah, this is Tin. How are you guys? First-time caller.
Good. Oh, good. Very good.
Nice to hear from you, brother.
Nice to hear from you guys. I actually follow you a lot on YouTube, and I also see your collabs with the boxing voice, so great job, guys. First of all, thanks for bringing this content. I just wanted to say a few points. Just wanted to say a few points and a rant on Mikey Garcia. First off, congratulations to Bam Rodriguez, Jonathan Gonzalez, and Samara Marshall. Outstanding performances from all three yesterday. And Mikey Garcia, well, Mikey Cheeseburger Garcia, you either be fully committed to flipping houses or boxing, because you can't do both at the same time. Don't keep one leg in McDonald's and the other leg in the boxing ring and come to box. A lot of fans paid a lot of money to invest, invested a lot of money and time to come and support you, and that's the performance you give. There are a lot of, he can't give the excuse of not having training, because he has some of the best fighters in RGBA to spar and train with. So that's not an excuse. It was all, he allowed Adam Sandler to come and just bash him up. So I hope Mikey learns his lesson. He either retires or gives respect to the sport. That's all I have to say, guys.
All right, man. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for calling in. And don't be a stranger, man. Call back. Call back. Beav, he's 100% right. He's 100% right. People pay a lot of money. You saw the fireworks show, how much money Matro was spent to be there, how much money they spent. That fireworks show beforehand, everything like that, it was all geared toward Garcia. And he did. He dumped the bed. Really did. You know, he's right. You got to, you know, you got to at least take it seriously. And this is a guy who didn't take it seriously.
Yeah.
Why would you, you know, this is your chance to put your best foot forward on TV and everything like that after being out, hey, I'm the guy to beat Progress, I'm the guy to beat Taylor, I should get these shots, and then you come out here and you lay, you know, lay an egg like that.
It's terrible.
That's horrible. That's horrible.
It's terrible.
There you go. All right, make sure this week to stay tuned. I have a feeling we're going to see a lot of content about Stevenson and Herring. I have a feeling Beav's going to be all over that fight. I'm sure they're going to be beating the odds of Beav at some point. And, hey, I'll have something to say about it, too, I'm sure. I'm sure we'll do shows in I guess, during the week or whatever. So that's a big fight, man. That's a big betting fight for me anyway. I think that it's one of those fights that you look forward to. It's not the the name brand fight like a Wilder Fury, but it is a really solid, solid fight that we don't know. It's one of those fights that it's interesting because we don't know what's going to happen. We all have our ideas of what's going to happen, but we're anxious to see how it plays out.
Yeah, so it's interesting.
I can't wait. All right, guys, that'll do.